Thank you for listening, but please be advised that I don't just believe shit I hear in podcasts, and I hope you don't either. Be skeptical and look into things for yourself. If you find that I was wrong about something, the best thing you can do for me is to let me know. You can do that at livingthroughextinction@gmail.com. Please also be aware of the fact that I do swear and I don't bleep anything out, so listener discretion is advised. I'm Ruby, and this is episode 104 of Living Through Extinction, a short-to-the-point podcast with science and skepticism, environment and wildlife, and stuff I find important or interesting that I want to learn more about. If you've joined me before, you may be aware of the fact that I'm moving my area where I record right now, so I don't have things properly muffled just yet, hopefully by the next recording. So apologies for any echoiness, or if my sound isn't quite as good as it's been in the past. Today I'm talking about the first class of forever chemicals researchers figured out how to break down, the discovery of a bacterium in the elephants from the mass die-offs of 2020, volunteers shoveling snow for those who can't, and Conservapedia, the far-right wiki of alternative facts. If you've joined me before, then thank you for returning. I seriously do appreciate you. If this is your first time listening to Living Through Extinction, welcome. I hope you find it both fun and informative. My main this episode is also a skeptical segment, so I'm jumping into an environmental story today. PFAS has come up a lot in this show. That stands for per- and polyfluorinated substances. But they are also commonly referred to as forever chemicals due to how difficult it is to remove them from the environment once they get out. This is because they don't naturally break down on their own. These chemicals have been a part of our everyday lives since the 1940s. They're in our makeup, our food packaging, and our cookware. They're used to make firefighting foam and fire-resistant clothing. It's a part of the furniture in our homes. The entire world is polluted with PFASs at this point. The more time that passes, the more infused they are into everything. Our water and soil have been full of it for decades now. And there has even been a study that shows PFASs being present in the blood of 97 to 98% of Americans. Low levels of exposure are associated with increased risk of cancer, liver damage, low birth weight, a weakening of the immune system, and more. All sorts of research is being done on how we might be able to assist these chemicals into breaking down into their chemical components. Most PFASs have shown to be resistant to incineration, which is why it's used to fight fires and in fire-resistant clothing. It's possible to filter them out of water, but then they still end up at landfills where they leach into the soil until exposed to extreme heat, at which point they float out into the air where they remain. The good news is that one group of researchers has finally had some success with one class of these PFASs. By using water, a soap ingredient, and a common solvent, and bringing the substance to a boil, most of the PFASs present broke down into harmless byproducts within hours, and the rest broke down within days. It's proven to be a simple, cheap way to degrade a major class of these chemicals. Now that this work has been done and they have seen how the particles come apart, they're sharing the information so that other researchers can use it to help them in developing their own ideas, and maybe we'll get the method to degrade another major class of these forever chemicals as a result. After all, science progresses when the next person builds on the last person's work. The study about all this was published in Science. We seem to finally have an answer to some of the mysterious elephant deaths of 2020. During that year, 35 African savanna elephants died within a 1,000 square kilometer area in northwestern Zimbabwe. Another 356 died in nearby Botswana. When found, they appear to have died suddenly, collapsing while walking or running. With no signs of poaching, researchers set out to figure out what happened. They focused on the elephants in Zimbabwe. It was a huge job. They had to use helicopters to locate the corpses, and then they had to go down in full protective clothing in extreme heat. And getting at the organs required for testing in an animal as large as an elephant? That's a major undertaking on its own. One can imagine how the restrictive clothing and the heat combined would make that all even harder. Along with the organ samples from the animals, they also took environmental samples from the surroundings. That would be stuff like plants, soil, bark from trees, that sort of thing. What they found in the creatures was a bacterium never before seen in elephants, It's called Bisgard taxon 45, and we're familiar with it because it's commonly detected in bites from wildcats. The extreme heat of that year, combined with the shortage of food, had these elephants under severe stress, and it's thought that their immune defenses may have been compromised because of it. So instead of their bodies fighting it off, they carried it with them until it became a form of septicemia. Elephants tend to be incredibly social, so the bacterium could have spread from one to the other through social activity. African savanna elephants were already endangered before this. Populations drop about 8% per year. Learning about these deaths could help with preventing it in the future, which could very well save them from extinction. The findings of this work have been published in the journal Nature Communications. Since the rise of Donald Trump, the alternative facts or alternative truths thing has become very mainstream. In case it's not very, very clear to you, alternative facts are fictions. Alternative truths are lies. It's as simple as that to anyone with even a smidgen of intellectual integrity. It isn't that it wasn't around. It's just that most of the world didn't take it seriously before the rise of the cult of Trump. For this episode, I decided to dive into the alternative reality of Conservapedia, which once made number 9 on Brian Denning's top 10 worst anti-science websites. And that was 4 years before the minority-elected president even came into office. Homeschool teacher and lawyer Andrew Schlafly, the son of conservative activist Phyllis Schlafly, is responsible for this atrocity. The university his mother is associated with actually takes from Conservapedia for its lessons. It's called Eagle Forum University, and no wonder Americans are considered to be some of the most undereducated people in the industrialized world, with bullshit like this passing as a university. In 2006, Schlafly was so offended by the use of Common Era in a student's assignment and the fact that Wikipedia supported both that use and the Anno Domini one that he was inspired to create this wiki-based encyclopedia of alternative truths. Most of us who are not religiously motivated use BCE and CE today. Nobody is trying to stop Christians from using BC and AD. But of course, the Christians are thoroughly offended by anyone who dares use anything other than what they do. Schlafly also didn't like the fact that every time he inserted an outright lie into a Wikipedia article, editors would revert it back to what it was, which was the truth. Wikipedia stays grounded in reality. You can't just insert the Earth is less than 10,000 years old in an article about the age of the Earth. Wikipedia trusts those who actually study these things to be the major contributors to those areas. This guy may be Harvard educated, but that's as a lawyer. He has no knowledge on the age of the Earth, how we age things, any of that. So Wikipedia is absolutely doing the right thing by removing his ignorance from their pages. Of course, anyone who are ignorant of what free speech is will call this an infringement, but that's totally not the case. The fact that he was able to create his own thing where he could say and write whatever he wants proves that he still has all of his free speech rights. He just doesn't have the right to infringe on other people's spaces who don't want him there. Individuals and corporations have the right to not want your speech associated with them. Forcing them to comply to your speech would be infringing on their rights. This asshat declared that Wikipedia's acceptance of both terms was anti-Christian. Obviously, including both options is inclusive, not anti-anything. Again, with the intellectual dishonesty. If it was anti-Christian in any way, it would disallow BC and AD. Allowing someone the same rights as you doesn't make them anti-you, and it doesn't take anything away from you. That's the issue with these far-right Christians. They have zero interest in sharing. They want it all their way, and they will destroy a democracy if they have to in order to get it. Compromise isn't a thing, and they've been proving that this year when it comes to the border. They are unreasonable. And so began the online encyclopedia of what far-right conservative Christians wish was true. In its own words, it contains supposed truths from a quote, American conservative fundamentalist Christian point of view, unquote. That's a lot of descriptors. That leaves out the great majority of the world and a whole lot of the American population. His goal was to counter the quote, liberal bias of Wikipedia, unquote. So, the fact-checking. He wanted something that would contain all of the Christian view alternative truths. So, lies, Conservapedia is strictly in English, of course. Any other language is considered offensive to these snowflake bigots. There were even controversies over the English spellings. According to this guy, allowing for both American and British spelling was anti-American bias. These fucking people. He has since caved slightly on this one, believe it or not. If an article is about the United Kingdom, then it is permitted to use the British English spelling. Oh, how generous of y'all. Now I'm going to share some of the things you'll find if you decide to explore this wiki for yourself. Here you will read that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. The Obama birther conspiracy theory, popularized by the minority-elected Donald Trump. Barack Obama was born in Hawaii, people. Here you will read that Michelle Obama is a transgender woman. Fucking conservative men are so scared of strong women and so ashamed to admit their fear that they have to make up shit in order to be able to deal with it. Am I right? Why else would someone buy into something so ridiculous? Conservapedia lays out, by people with no education in the area, that abortions increase the risks of breast cancer. This is demonstrably untrue. It also describes the Earth as being only about 6,000 years old and that it came together in just 6 days. I consider this one to be downright delusional and damaging. To be teaching demonstrably untrue things to entire generations of their people as fact. I find it disgusting. Sometimes I wish it was illegal to lie to your kids about fundamentable, testable, provable realities. Here you will read about the January 6th attack on the capital of the country being staged by Antifa, even though most recently Trump has admitted they were there for him and promised to pardon them when he gets back into office. Do you really think he would be pardoning them if they were Antifa? Come on, fuck. Here you will read about the gay agenda of the Democrats, which does not and has never existed in the U.S. or in Canada. People who believe this are brainwashed assholes and very likely bigots. A bigot is more likely to lean towards the side of the hateful, despite what evidence there may be to the contrary. There is no such thing as a homosexual agenda. These people just want to exist without having to hide who the fuck they are. In Conservapedia, if you look up Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, you will read about how it was part of an ideological plot by liberals. I know! What the fuck, right? Oh, and they use quotes from the Bible to supposedly disprove the theory of relativity. Fucking facepalm. Like a book on its own can prove anything, especially one full of so many faults and contradictions. It can't. Conservapedia contains the outright lie that the fossil record conflicts with evolution. Every scientific skeptic worth anything would throw it all out the window and start over if even one fossil showed up somewhere it wasn't supposed to be. That's literally all it would take, and it's never happened. If this were the case, someone would have found the evidence of it by now, and that person who manages to disprove a current theory will likely win a Nobel Prize, because that's the greatest honor in science. To disprove the current beliefs is how someone in research becomes rich and famous, not by standing by ideas no matter what. That's Republicans and conservatives. No matter how wrong they are shown to be, they stand stubbornly by their wrongness almost every time. Science is about learning, growing, and accepting when a currently believed theory is proven to be incorrect. Which stance sounds more intellectually honest to you? Here you will also read that the Bible has shown to be more scientifically correct than the scientific community. What a fucking joke! There are innumerable examples, but one of the quickest and easiest is the moon. The Bible says that the moon gives off its own light, which is what people who wrote it believed at the time, because they were less educated. They were ignorant in that area of knowledge. We now know better because of scientific investigation and discovery. Science, when done properly, is literally just a method for reaching the truth. Anything and everything against the ideals of these far-right conservative Christian Republicans is labeled a liberal lie. Anyone who disagrees with them is labeled a liberal shill. Even people in their own party who have the guts to speak up about this move to theocracy have been called liberal hacks and shit like that. They turn against their own so fast as soon as a smidgen of reason is shown. And there's never been any rhyme or reason to it. Trump doesn't like it? Liberal lie. It makes a Republican look bad? Liberal lie. Trickle-down economics doesn't work? Liberal lie. Any study that contradicts their claims? Liberal lie. Any study that points to how we should be using less fossil fuels? Liberal lie. Support for LGBT? Liberal shill. Acceptance of scientific consensus on evolution or global warming? Liberal shill. It's literally just a catch-all for anything they want to shoot down. No rhyme or reason. Just blame the libs. And it's working on so many, including some very smart people. They also say that the evils of the world are basically Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Richard Dawkins, and video games. Oh, and don't forget atheism and homosexuality. The fact that they can't look in the mirror and see that the evil of our nations right now is literally them, the mega cults and the far-right Christian extremists, is mind-boggling to me. Their operators make the demonstrably untrue claim that they strive to keep their articles concise, informative, family-friendly, and true to facts. What bugs me about this is they fucking know the statement is an outright lie. What they actually do is take what the rest of the world knows to be true and twist it into what they want their followers to continue to believe. All one has to do is learn about arguments and fallacies, and it becomes clear pretty fast that Conservapedia articles can't back up any of their claims without the use of logical fallacies, contradictions, hypocrisies, and outright lies. When it comes to topics such as atheism, homosexuality, LGBT people, people who believe in evolution, immigrants, women, and more, they use fallacy after fallacy to make baseless attacks and spread outright disinformation. Remember, misinformation is shared in error. Disinformation is shared by someone who knows damn well that what they're sharing is false. These people know they are lying in so many of these areas. Funny how the Democratic arguments don't contain the same logical fallacies and hypocrisies. They don't say things like, this is legal for this person, but that person should go to jail for it. Or, you can impeach a sitting president of one party, but you can't impeach a sitting president of another party. See the difference? If not, you're totally practicing intellectual dishonesty. I saw a couple of great descriptors of Conservapedia in the articles I read, all of which are linked in the show notes. One is, with no effort to retain balance or avoid bias, it ends up having all the neutrality of a lynch mob. Love that. Perfect descriptor. And the other one that really caught my eye. When talking about the supposed family friendliness of the site? Yeah, if your family is the Phelps. Everyone knows about them, right? I really should do a segment on the Phelps one day. I want to end this with these two comparisons I found in one of the articles you'll find in my show notes. The first one is dinosaurs. Wikipedia says, vertebrate animals that dominated terrestrial ecosystems for over 160 million years, first appearing approximately 230 million years ago. Conservapedia says, they are mentioned in numerous places throughout the Good Book. For example, the behemoth in Job and the leviathan in Isaiah are almost certainly references to dinosaurs. Not much of a description, huh? The second one I have here is the U.S. Democratic Party. Wikipedia says, the party advocates civil liberties, social freedoms, equal rights, equal opportunity, fiscal responsibility, and a free enterprise system tempered by government intervention. Conservapedia says, the Democrat voting record reveals a true agenda of cowering to terrorism, treasonous anti-Americanism, and contempt for America's founding principles. Holy fuck. Reality really has flown out the window with these folks, and they're looking to be in charge of you and me. I don't want to be governed by some individual superstition. I don't want to be governed by ignorance. That's about as far away from freedom as any of us can get. If you are a bigot who wants to continue to believe that you are more special than anyone, even slightly different from you and your friends and family, then this wiki is for you. The rest of us are going to stay grounded in reality and continue to be skeptical, dammit. Snow sucks. Believe me, I know. I've been walking the 1 kilometer to my office in Winnipeg almost every workday for a quarter century now. I've walked through it all, and the snow is always the worst of it. It also kills, not just avalanches and shit like that. If you own a home in a city with shitty winters, you either shovel or you struggle back and forth through the snow every day. And we have had several feet in some winters, where if shoveling wasn't kept up, it would become impassable. We can't escape it. It has to be done. But people have cardiac events while shoveling snow every single year. As I made these notes on February 9th, two people from Ontario had already gone into cardiac arrest while shoveling in 2024. We're barely into the second month, man. If you have a heart condition and have to shovel your walk and or driveway, you're literally putting your life on the line to get that snow cleared. It's fucking awful. I realize it can be beautiful to those who don't get the worst of it, those who don't have to shovel it, those who don't have to walk through it every single day. Or if you've only seen it on TV and never in person. I get it. But trust me, snow is brutal and shoveling is fucking hard. It takes strength, especially if dealing with wet or set snow. Even when it does come down light and fluffy, it never stays like that for long. Compressed snow or partially melted and refrozen snow are most commonly what we're dealing with, and that shit is a major workout. With all of that in mind, this is supposed to be a positive segment, not a rant about snow. I want to share what's going on in Whitehorse, Yukon right now. A group of residents are offering to shovel driveways, porches, sidewalks, whatever needs doing. The services are going to elders, pregnant people, and people with health issues that may make shoveling a more difficult or even dangerous task. Accessibility is apparently a frequent issue in Whitehorse due to their weather. This winter is expected to cost them $220,000 just to keep downtown accessible. So when a group of residents were looking for a way to give back to serve their community, helping people with access to and from their homes seemed like a good place to start. Posts were put out on social media to gather volunteers and find those who would need the help. They have about 20 volunteers so far, and it's all done free of charge by people who pretty much all also work full-time jobs. I think it's a pretty great way to give back. And that's it for today. I'm still in the middle of a pause for my YouTube videos, as I'm still trying to get my new room put together. But there's over 50 videos there right now, all between 1 and 4 minutes long, so go check that out. Thank you for joining me. May your health and sanity continue to be replenished daily. My eternal gratitude goes out to the following people. Jason Martin for helping me get started on this project. I wouldn't be doing this right now if not for him. Kathy Rayner for her musical contribution on the violin. Paul Palmer for his musical contribution on the guitar. He can be found at WPG Suitcase Drummer on Instagram. Dustin Harder for composing and recording the intro and outro for the show. You can find him on Instagram at Prairie Soul Music. I hope you will choose to join me again in 2 weeks for episode 105 of Living Through Extinction. If you enjoy Living Through Extinction and would like to support the show, the best ways to do so are to subscribe and rate and to comment and like positive comments on your favorite podcast player. Or you can help out by following, liking, and sharing on all the social medias. The show can be found under Living Through Extinction on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Pinterest, and TikTok, and under LTE Pod on Blue Sky, Hive, Tribal, and Twitter. There's also a Patreon at patreon.com/livingthroughextinction. There you can earn stickers, pins, masks, and more, as well as help me plant some trees. If you have any comments, corrections, questions, or suggestions, please email them to livingthroughextinction@gmail.com or message me through one of the social medias.